Now turning in God's Word to the first epistle of Peter. Turning to 1 Peter. Chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. We shall read this morning together the first 11 verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 1 and ending at verse 11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Be the part of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and uphold you.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We know that God will add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own inspired and infallible word. And he will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. I'd like you to turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5, 5th chapter of 1 Peter. And we found the place, and with God's precious word open before us, let us now unite our hearts in prayer. Our dear Father and our loving God, how often have we proven, Lord, thy faithfulness. And our gracious God, thou art faithful each and every day that we live. There's not one day, Lord, that passes that we know that, O God, that thou dost fail us. We thank thee that thou art with us every step of the way, every mile of the journey. And gracious Lord, we pray this morning that as we gather here in this house, and O Lord, with the dark cloud of sorrow hanging above us, we pray that this morning we might see him who is the Son of Righteousness, the one who has arisen with healing in his wings. And gracious Lord, the one that we mourn over, We do rejoice that she is in the presence of the King. And we thank thee, dear loving Father, that now she enjoys beholding the splendors and the beauty of heaven. Gracious Lord, best of all, now she sees the One who loved her and gave Himself for her. Lord, help us all to comfort ourselves with these words and with these great truths. Loving Father, we pray that now as we turn to Thy truth, may there just be a word for us. Yea, Lord, a word for us all, that, Lord, we'll be able to leave this house comforted in our hearts, knowing that God has spoken to us. Father, give us the power of Thy Spirit, that we might be enabled to preach the Word of God in all its fullness. Lord, today we might be enabled to present Jesus Christ, the One who loved us and gave His life for us at Calvary. In His thrice holy name we pray. Amen. We'd like to leave before you this morning the words of verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Each one of us know, and know by experience, that it is not possible for anyone to go through this life without a care. The road that takes us from the cradle to the grave at times may be rough and hazardous. And sometimes when difficulties and disappointments cross our path, we wonder how we can keep going. It was Job who said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Those words came from a man who spoke from experience. His days in this earth, man's days in this earth may be few, yet Job informs us they are full of trouble. Paul the Apostle reminds us of this also. Whenever he spoke to the Christians at Rome, and he said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And if this be true of the righteous, then what must it be like for the ungodly? Have we ever thought, how do the ungodly cope with their troubles and their cares? The world has trouble and sorrows of its own, and they are deep and they are many. To grieve and yet have no comforter. To be wounded and have no healer. To be weary and yet no resting place. This is the world's hard lot. Every trouble, every trial, every tragedy must be faced and borne alone. This, of course, is in stark contrast to the life of the Christian. And while the righteous may have many afflictions and troubles to contend with, we thank God the Christian does not have to contend with those woes alone. For the words of our text remind us of this great truth, that the righteous have in the Lord Jesus Christ one whom we may call the great burden bearer. And Peter, once again speaking from experience, was able to speak of the Lord Jesus and say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I want to consider these words this morning. This text of scripture that the Lord laid upon my heart about the middle of last week. A word, as it turns out to be, would be a word in season at this time. And so may the Spirit of God, the heavenly Comforter, apply the soothing ointment of his word to the open wounds of care and trouble. And may we today cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. I want us first of all to consider the trials of the saints. The trials of the saints, Peter here declares, casting all your care upon him. Let us say first of all that there are some trials that Christians can deal with quite easily themselves. You might say, well, how can that be? Well, there is a remedy for care, and it is to be found in the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God can be the means used by the Lord to still the tempest and calm the troubled heart. If only in such times we would remember the precious promises of God, we would soon enjoy the peace that had left us for a season. Let us take, for example, fear. How often are we fearful? And yet, when we turn to the scriptures of truth, we find there verse after verse after verse that will take care of our fear. The scriptures would serve as a remedy to our fears. Psalm 118, for example, in verse 6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Therefore, if the Lord is on my side, it is a fearful thing if the Lord is against us. In the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the prophet was called upon to declare unto the cities that the Lord God was against them. And every one of those cities was destroyed. None of them are to be found today. It is a fearful thing when God is against you. But not so the child of God. The child of God can say with the psalmist, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear." And very often when we turn to the Scriptures and we find a word like that, then all our fears evaporate like a morning cloud as we are reminded again that the Lord is on our side. He's not against us, He's on our side. Paul comforted the saints at Philippi. And he said, "The Lord is at hand." Those words mean, the Lord is at thine elbow. That's how near He is. He is up at thy elbow. We remember also, in our times of fear, the words of the prophet Isaiah. The word that he declared to the redeemed of the Lord. "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And what comfort those words bring to our hearts in our times of fear. The Lord goes on to say, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And again in verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee." The Lord said to his disciples when they were afraid. Luke 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not." And so in our times, those times when we are afraid, when we turn to the Scriptures and turn to verses such as these, then our fear soon disappears. Something else we want to say about care. There are those cares that come our way that we would not dare bring to the Lord. There are some cares that we would not dare cast upon Him. Cares that come our way through our carelessness, worldliness, and sin. If we disobey the Lord, and troubles come our way as a direct result of our disobedience and of our selfishness and our sin, then how can we bring such cares to the Lord when we are the very author of those cares? You think of the rich man who had a bountiful harvest, and his barns were full, and he stood there, wringing his hands and crying, "What shall I do?" There was a man who was full of care. And then he had this idea, he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou as much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God called him a fool. Because he was living a self-centered life. And there was no room for God in his life. And if a Christian is full of care through greed or covetousness, it would be an insult to God to cast that care on the Lord. But there are those cares and afflictions which come our way which are not of our making. And let us remember we believe in a sovereign God, and things do not happen by chance. And so when these cares come our way, very often they're for a reason. And here Peter, addressing those who are full of care, says to them, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Regarding the care spoken of here by Peter, we must look first of all at the meaning. When we look at the meaning of this word, I believe we will see something which we can all identify with. Because the word means to draw in different directions. That's what the word means. To be drawn, to be pulled in different directions. It means to be distracted or distraught. How often have our troubles come, not singly, but they have come upon us one after another. We may feel that it wouldn't be so bad if we had just one problem to deal with. But more often than not, we're distracted, drawn, pulled in different directions. We have a problem there, we have a care there, we have an anxiety here. And we are distracted. We have been brought to wit's end corner. We're like the children of Israel. As they stood there at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's pursuing chariots behind them, mountains on either side, a great expanse of water before them. They were at wit's end corner. They didn't know what to do. Dear Christian, how often have we been in wit's end corner? Distracted. Not knowing what way to turn. Like the children of Israel, they didn't know what way to turn. Maybe you're like that this morning. Distracted, distraught, not knowing what way to turn. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Not only do we have the meaning, but there is reference here to the mind of the Christian. It is clear from our text that the apostle, in dealing with care and anxiety, is dealing with what goes on in the mind of the saint. When in the midst of his troubles, the psalmist asked this question. He asked, has God forgotten to be gracious? Now that wasn't true. God had not forgotten to be gracious. But the trials and the woes and the afflictions of the psalmist were so great, and there didn't seem to be any end to them, that the psalmist said, has God forgotten to be gracious? It was what was going on in his mind at the time. He was in turmoil of mind. Isaac and his wife Rebecca experienced this anxiety, this trouble of mind. If you turn, please, to Genesis 26. And here is something I believe that many a parent today can identify with. And if we could speak to Isaac and Rebecca now, many a parent could say, Isaac, Rebecca, I know what you're going through. Genesis 26 and verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. Now look at verse 35. Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. A grief of mind. Why were they so grieved? Because Esau had taken to himself women that were not Israelites, they were Hittites. And here you have the unequal yoke. And we read, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And many parents today have experienced what Isaac and Rebekah experienced. And because of what has happened with their sons and their daughters, they are in grief of mind. Their mind is distraught. They are at wit's end corner. They know not what way to turn. A wayward son, a rebellious daughter, and mother and father are in grief of mind. Isn't it interesting that the Spirit of God has recorded they were in grief of mind? And how often things go through our minds that cause us great grief. And to the anxious saint, to the one who is suffering grief of mind, Peter says, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. And then thirdly, there is here a mystery. Look once again at the text. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You will notice here that Peter does not say anything about what these cares are. He doesn't specify any particular care or any reason for anxiety. He just covers all care and all anxiety with one word, casting all your care upon him. I wonder what Peter was thinking. What cares, what troubles, what woes was Peter thinking about whenever he penned those words? What was it that had troubled him when he said, casting all your care upon him? What did he have on his mind? We don't know. And many today, even in this house, have cares that no one else knows about. And many today are carrying secret burdens. We look at the epistles of Paul. We get to know the great apostle through his writings. And we know how he had a thorn in the flesh. We know how he confided in his friends at Corinth about this thorn in the flesh. And how he had suffered through this thorn in the flesh. This thing that had troubled him. And yet, he doesn't disclose what the thorn in the flesh was. He keeps it a secret. It's known only to him and to his God. This was a burden he was prepared to carry alone. When the city of Samaria came under siege by the Syrians, the people within the city were reduced to eating their own children. And when this was told to the king of the city, we're told that the king rent his garments. And when he rent his garments, as he walked upon the wall, the people looked to their king. And as he stood there and rent garments, they noticed underneath his kingly robes, he was wearing sackcloth. Hidden under his kingly robes were the garments of mourning. And the people didn't know anything about it. And when the king heard about the women that entered into a covenant, a pact with the one with the other, and one mother killed her son, when he heard about that, it was the last straw, as it were. He could bear no more. He rent his garments. There for all to see were the garments of mourning within. You see, he had been carrying a secret burden all the while. Nobody knew about it. Maybe you say this morning, I have cares that nobody knows about. I have troubles that are known only to me. Dear Christian, it is to you this word comes from God this morning. Casting all your care, whatever it is, all your secret cares, cast them all on the Lord, because He careth for you. And then you have here the multitude of care. For Peter says, casting all your care. And so here he makes reference to those who have a multitude of care. There's an old saying we often use, it never rains but it pours. And troubles never seem to ride alone. They always seem to bring company with them. Peter says, casting all your care. Meaning all the cares that you have. All of them. All of them. Cast them on the Lord. What are those cares? As we've already said, some are secret and will remain secret. They're only between the individual and the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Himself in Luke 21 verse 34 speaks about the cares of this life. The cares of this life. The Lord Jesus here through His ministry did not promise that skies would always be blue. That the way ahead would always be smooth. For the Lord Himself spoke about the cares of this life. When you look at Job, Job's cares came upon him just like the waves wash up upon the seashore, wave upon wave upon wave of care. The Apostle Paul spoke briefly of the many burdens that he was called upon to carry. The many cares that he had. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, Paul said, beside those things, that is the things they've already mentioned, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so the Apostle Paul had this thorn in the flesh, this secret burden that he carried with him every day to the day he was offered up, brought into the presence of the Lord. That secret care, that secret burden, and then all the other cares, and then the care of all the churches. Paul's cares were many and varied. Dear Christian, if your troubles are many, and you're anxious about many things, and your mind is in turmoil, you're distraught. You're at wit's end corner. Hear the word of the Lord today. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Then we have, secondly, the task that is stipulated. Not only the trials of the saints, but the task that is stipulated, for verse 7 again says, casting all your care upon Him. There's the task. Cast. Let's take that word, casting. It's only found here in one other place in the New Testament. The word means to hurl upon. To hurl something in a certain direction. Turn to the other reference found in Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. The disciples have gone and they have fetched the colt of the ass. They told the owner, the Lord hath need of him. And now we read in verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. They cast their garments upon the colt. They hurled their garments upon the colt of an ass. And that's the same word that Peter uses. And when you look at the verse there in Luke 19 and see the disciples casting their garments on the colt, it gives us a good picture of what we are to do with our cares. Remember, the word is not found anywhere else. And Peter chose to use that word when exhorting believers to cast their care on the Lord. We know that the colt is the beast of burden. Jesus Christ is the great burden bearer. And we are to cast our care upon Him. But here we have a problem. If you've been carrying a burden for a long time, all you want to do is just drop that burden at your feet. But if you're asked to take that burden and cast it away from you, you and I would find that very difficult to do. And that's where the problem arises. Because when we come before the Lord, and we come before God with His Word before us, and the Lord in His Word says, cast all your care upon Him, our problem is that we find it difficult to cast our care on Him. We find it difficult to let go of our care and to cast it on the Lord. Remember, casting all your care on the Lord. You and I know the many times we have gone to the throne of grace And have gone there with a care, with a burden. And we have prayed about it. And we have got up off our knees. And we have gone home still with that care on our shoulders. We find it a problem to cast our care on the Lord. Yet this is what we are exhorted to do. Then we notice something else. Not only the problem with care, but Peter here speaks about our personal care. Casting all your care. That's something that's personal. To each of the saints, Paul or Peter says, you cast your care, your own personal worries, anxieties, burdens and cares. Those things that keep you awake at night. Those things that trouble you. Your cares. Those things that are peculiar to you. Cast all your care. Because the Lord cares for you. And then you have the person who cares. We read there, casting all your care upon Him. There's the person who cares. Now we can share our burdens with our friends, and it's good to do that. But our friends cannot carry our burdens for us. Only Christ can do that. We can go to our friends about our burdens and our troubles and our cares, and they can give us advice and guidance, but they cannot carry our cares. There's only one person can do that. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, this is something that the king of Israel experienced in the days of Naaman. You turn, please, to 2 Kings 5. We know that Naaman discovered that he had leprosy. The little maid that was in his house exhorted him to go to the servant of God. Go to Elisha. And we read in verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Here the king of Syria was seeking to place the burden of Naaman's leprosy upon the king of Israel. And what did the king of Israel say whenever he read the letter? Verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God? He was saying, I can't carry this burden. I can't do anything for Naaman. I can't carry his burden. Then he said, Am I God? Intimating that only God could help Naaman. And God did help Naaman through his servant Elisha. So let us take our burdens and our cares to the Lord, even as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 55 and verse 22, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He'll sustain thee. And lastly and briefly, we have the truth that is sublime. The truth that is sublime, for he careth for you. I would love to spend more time in this part of the verse, because first of all, notice the argument and the truth. Because we have there in the middle of the verse that little word for. Be easy to pass it by. Be easy to overlook it. But there it is at the very heart of the text. And Peter said, casting all your care on him for. He careth for you. Because he cares for you. That's a good reason for the saint of God to cast all their care upon the Lord. David, as we've already said, once uttered the words, Hath God forgotten to be gracious? And then it's easy in the midst of trouble and care to ask the question, does the Lord really care? That charge was leveled at the Savior on two occasions during his ministry. Once, when he was with his disciples in a vessel, and a storm arose, and the Savior was asleep with his head on the pillow, and they went and they awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a charge to lay at Christ. And the other time was when the Lord was in the home of Mary and Martha. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. And Martha came and said, Master, carest thou not that I serve alone? The Lord cares, all right. The argument of truth, the amazing truth. The amazing truth is that God does care. Why should he care for individuals such as we? But he does. And it's all of grace. And it's all because of Christ. And then you have the assuring truth. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That not give us assurance? He really does care. Just look at his ministry. Oh, he cares, all right. Cared for the man by the pool of Bethesda. Cared for the lepers. He cared for the blind. cared for the multitudes. He cared for those that mourned. He cared for those who wept. He cares all right. He wants you to cast all your care on Him. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Father and our gracious, loving God, we do rejoice today in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, for the great burden bearer, and all our anxieties and all our cares we can bring to the mercy seat and leave them there. O loving Father, help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to bring all our cares to Thee. For Thou careth for us. No one ever cared for our souls, dear Lord, like Thee. For Thou dost give Thy life for us. Gracious Father, we pray Thou would write Thy word on the fleshly tables of our hearts. May the word, Lord, comfort and minister to us today. Be with us, Lord, as we leave the house of God and go to our homes. Take us there in safety. Return us to the house of God tonight to worship, praise, and adore Thy name. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.